For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Russ McKinney. When sworn in as the state's new lieutenant governor last month, Pamela Evatt made history.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you.
Evatt became the first lieutenant governor elected as a governor's running mate instead of running for the office independently of the governor. The primary duty of the lieutenant governor is to step up to the governor's office if necessary, as Henry McMaster did when Governor Nikki Haley resigned the office in 2017. Instead of being an elected state official, the lieutenant governor is in essence now a member of the governor's staff. In South Carolina, it's been close to 50 years since a sitting elected lieutenant governor managed to be elected governor. Some states do not have lieutenant governors. Various legislative leaders or cabinet officials would succeed a governor in those states in the event of a vacancy. But where the recent change to South Carolina's constitution will be felt most will be in the tradition-bound state senate, where for over 100 years the lieutenant governor has been the presiding officer.
It is a major historical change in the Senate, where the lieutenant governor will now not preside over the Senate, and a member of the Senate will be elected as the president and preside over the Senate.
Lexington Senator Nikki Setzler, the longest-serving member of the Senate, 42 years, views the change as progress. For years, a senior member of the Senate served as the president pro tem, a powerful position, but its newly titled position, president of the Senate, will be more powerful. He or she will now preside over the Senate, determine the body's agenda, and chair a newly created oversight committee, and retain his or her ability to vote on all matters. In the past, the lieutenant governor could vote only in the event of a tie. On the first day of this year's legislative session, senators chose Gaffney Republican Harvey Peeler, a 38-year veteran of the Senate, to be president.
I wish I could capture the words to express what this means to me, to be chosen the very first president and presiding officer of the Senate within the membership of the body is both historic and futuristic.
87-year-old Republican Senator Hugh Leatherman of Florence had held the position of president pro tem, while at the same time serving as chairman of the powerful Finance Committee. In recent years, some more junior senators felt senior senators like Leatherman exercised too much control over Senate matters. So with the new organization, and with Leatherman's support, senators agreed that their new president should not be allowed to also chair a major standing committee. Leatherman will continue to lead the Budget Writing Finance Committee. Senate Republican leader 44-year-old Shane Massey of Edgefield had long worked for the change.
It's important to have other people involved in the decision-making process, right? You need more people at the table. The more people you have, the more likely it is to reflect what the membership wants, the more likely it is that you're going to get consensus on doing something. You know, the Senate has never been very much of a top-down type body. Senators individually are much more independent. They are not as responsive to being dictated to. It's a different format in the Senate than it is in the House, where the House is a very leadership-oriented body. In the Senate, it's always consensus-driven. These are significant things. I think for a lot of people it is inside baseball, but I do think it's going to affect, it will have an impact on how the Senate operates, and it is a historical change.
The Senate rule that in essence determines all other rules remains firmly in place. That is its time-honored seniority system. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Russ McKinney.